you want to follow the reading, it's on page 92 in the Church Bibles. It comes from the book of Exodus, chapter 33, reading from verses 7 to 11. Now Moses used to take a tent and pitch it outside the camp some distance away, calling it the tent of meeting. Anyone inquiring of the Lord would go to the tent of meeting outside the camp, and whenever Moses went out to the tent, all the people rose and stood at the entrances to their tents, watching Moses until he entered the tent. As Moses went into the tent, the pillar of cloud would come down and stay at the entrance while the Lord spoke with Moses. Whenever the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the entrance to the tent, they all stood and worshipped, each at the entrance to his tent. The Lord would speak to Moses face to face, as a man speaks with his friend. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Gospel reading is from John 21, verses 19 to the end, and can be found on page 1090 in the New Testament part of your Bible. Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. Then Jesus said to him, "Follow me." Peter turned and saw that the disciple whom Jesus loved was following them. This was the one who had leaned back against Jesus at the supper and had said, "Lord, who is going to betray you?" When Peter saw him, he asked, "Lord, what about him?" Jesus answered, "If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me." Because of this, the rumor spread among the believers that this disciple would not die. But Jesus did not say that he would not die. He only said, "If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you?" This is the disciple who testifies to these things and who wrote them down. We know that his testimony is true. Jesus did many other things as well. If every one of them were written down, I suppose that even the whole world would not have room for the books that would be written. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Please sit. This is the Sunday after Christmas, so it's a good time for me to ask you what Christmas means to you and how have you celebrated Christmas. So I'm going to take this microphone and walk down amongst you and ask those questions. Just to repeat them, what does Christmas mean to you and how have you celebrated Christmas? Let's come over here first.
Ate lots of food. Enjoyed being in each other's company.
Enjoying company.
Spending it with family.
Spending time with family.
No. Okay. It means Jesus is born for us and he has come to lead us the way we should go and know him.
Yes, I spent time with family as well.
It's a time to show your love.
Very good.
Yeah, family turning up and feeding them and having a great time together.
Lovely, thank you very much. There's a Christmas song sung by Cliff Richard, which was a hit a small number of years ago, but one of my favourites. And in that song called Mistletoe and Wine, Cliff says, "It's a time to rejoice in the good that we are. It's a time for giving and a time for getting." But that gives you the impression that Christmas is not about ourselves. Sorry. That gives you the impression that Christmas is about ourselves and giving and getting gifts. But Christmas should not be about ourselves. It should be about others. And Cliff goes on to sing, "A time for forgiving and a time for forgetting." So I'm going to ask Alan just to play the first part of that song, just so you can pick up the words, Mistletoe and Wine.
Child is a king, the carolers sing, the old is past, there's a new beginning. Dreams of Santa, dreams of snow, fingers numb, faces aglow, it's Christmas time, mistletoe and wine, children sing. With logs on the fire and gifts on the tree, a time to rejoice in the good that we see, a time for living, a time for believing, a time for trusting, not deceiving. Love and laughter and joy ever after, ours for the taking, just follow the master. Christmas time, mistletoe and wine, children singing Christian rhyme, with logs on the fire and gifts on the tree, a time to rejoice in the good that we see.
So a time for forgiving, a time for thinking of other people, a time for forgetting. Cliff says, Christmas is love. Christmas is peace. I also wonder how much of your time, money and energy has been spent on other people, including charities. Many of us will have bought Christmas cards where a proportion of the cost goes to a charity. We may have given a donation to one or more charities so that others benefit by enjoying Christmas like we ourselves do, who wouldn't otherwise do that. I generally give to Crisis at Christmas, which is a London-based charity that allows people to celebrate Christmas when they wouldn't otherwise be able to do, and looks after them. But above all, we need to remember Christmas starts with Christ. This is not just a phrase used within Christian circles, but a real means of making us think about the real meaning of Christmas and why we celebrate it. The word Christmas starts with the word Christ, and so our celebration of Christmas should start with Christ, focused on Jesus, who he was and is, and what he came to do. In thinking about any subject for a sermon or talk, there are some questions that we can ask. These are who, when, where, why, and what. In thinking about Jesus, we can interpret these questions as, who was Jesus? When did he come? Where did he come? Why did Jesus come? And what did he come to do? Towards the end of Luke's Gospel, Jesus talked to the two travellers on the road to Emmaus. That's about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And it says, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. Jesus had about 2 hours for those 7 miles to give that explanation. And this morning we only have a few minutes. However, the Growing Together Fellowship Group, which meets on Tuesday evenings, has been looking at these questions over the past term and we'll be continuing to look at them over the next term. So I'm going to summarise briefly what we've been studying. We'd be happy if you'd like to join us for our discussions if you want to find out more. The title I've been given for this morning's talk is Not Enough Books. I wonder how many books you have at home. And we had two readings, the first from Exodus, the second book of the Bible, near the beginning of the Bible, and the second, the very end of John's Gospel, near the end of the Bible. In both of these, we hear God talking to his people and the response that he wants from them. That's what the Bible did for the people at the time, allowing God to speak to them, and it's what God does for us today through the Bible. There are 66 books in the Bible, 39 in the Old Testament, 27 in the New Testament. 66, that's quite a lot of books. But possibly not enough books, as many books have been written to help us understand what God is saying to us through his word in the Bible. From our second reading, Jesus did many other things as well. If every one of them were written down, even the whole world would not have enough room for the books that would be written. So, not enough room, not enough books. A careful study of the Bible shows that something is said about Jesus in each of the books of the Bible. May not overtly say that, but there's something about Jesus in every book. So I just want to look briefly at those questions I posed earlier. Who was and is Jesus? Jesus is the Son of God. In Psalm 2, we read, he said to me, you are my son. Today I have become your father. In Matthew chapter 3, God says at Jesus' baptism, this is my son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Jesus was also the Son of Man, born as the son of Mary and Joseph, conceived by the Holy Spirit. Jesus has many titles in the Old and New Testaments, including Lord, Prophet, Priest, King, Judge, Anointed One, Chosen Servant, Saviour, Redeemer, Ruler, Shepherd, and Cornerstone. We can know him through each of these titles as he interacts with us as we live out our lives, following him and his teaching. Where was he born? This is a straightforward question and has a simple answer. Luke gives us the answer. Joseph went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. The place of Jesus' birth was foretold by the prophet Micah, as we hear each year in our carol service. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Ephrath, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient times. The wise men went to Bethlehem to find Jesus, because they also knew that the promised king would be born in Bethlehem. Bethlehem is part of the Holy Land, the land flowing with milk and honey that was given to the descendants of Abraham. So it was in this land that Jesus was born. When did he come? Again, a simple question, and there's a simple answer. Just over 2,000 years ago. It doesn't matter that we don't know exactly when Jesus was born. We know that he came, and we know why he came. So answering the questions, why did Jesus come and what did he come to do? This would take a whole series of sermons, so I'm not going to attempt to do that this morning, but I will summarise some aspects for you. From a study of the prophecies in the books of the Old Testament, we find that Jesus came to bring good news, to launch the kingdom of God, to perform miracles, including healing, to teach in parables, to announce the new covenant, the New Testament, and that he would come as a suffering servant to die for us, so that our sins might be forgiven and we might have eternal life. So going back to what I had to say at the start of this talk, I'd like you to consider again what Christmas means to you and whether the way in which you celebrated Christmas included worshipping him, as we read about the Israelites in our reading from the book of Exodus. They worshipped him. And whether we have chosen to follow Jesus, as Peter was instructed in our second reading. And as Cliff says in the song, follow the Master. We need to remember that Jesus is the reason for the season. To close, a reading often included in our carol services from the book of Hebrews. Long ago, God spoke to our ancestors in many and various ways by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by a Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom he also created the world. Jesus is the reflection of God's glory and the exact imprint of God's very being, and he sustains all things by his powerful word. Finally, a prayer for each one of us. Almighty and everlasting God, who stooped to raise fallen humanity through the childbearing of Blessed Mary, grant that we, who have seen your glory revealed in our human nature and your love made perfect in our weakness, may daily be renewed in your image and conformed to the pattern of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.